May be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Hope you have your Bible and you'll open it up with us there. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin in verse 1, but then we're going to go right down to verse 9, okay? Because all that in between, it's real good, actually, every bit of it. But we're going to start Romans chapter 8, all right? And we're going to start in verse 1, and then we'll drop down to verse 9. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." But look down verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Ye shall live. Boy, what magnificent words. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the wonderfulness of walking after the Spirit. Now, that's my title. I'm really not even sure there is a word like wonderfulness, all right? I don't know if there is really, that's a real word or not. I thought about it. It sounds like a word that Brother Dave Gardner would use, the old comedian from back in the late 50s and early 60s, and sounds kind of like a word he would use, but hey, I think it aptly describes what we have and what the Scripture says we have when we walk after the Spirit. Hey, it's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. You know, in dealing, we've seen in the Scriptures here in chapter 7 and then into chapter 8 of Romans, and in dealing with the battle of the flesh versus the Spirit, the old man, if you will, versus the new man, sometimes it gets easy, I think, for us as humans to overemphasize the difficulty that we have in dealing with the flesh. And sometimes we put that emphasis there and we talk about, man, you know, it's a struggle and you have to, what you would do, you don't do, and what you don't want to do, you know, man. We talk about that, we go through it, and it is true. The flesh is a formidable opponent. He's a strong opponent that we have to deal with. But wait a minute. The whole difference comes in for the child of God when the child of God begins to walk after the Spirit. And boy, if we could just get God's people to do that. Amen. So many of us, we're content to not do that. We're content to live in the flesh rather than living in the Spirit. And we're content to allow the flesh to get that upper hold. But I think the chapter 8, and just going to look at some things throughout this chapter that I look at and I think, boy, here's the wonderfulness of living after the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, if you will. First of all, a thing called waiting. Waiting. Look at verse 19. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Then look at verse 23. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Man, we read those verses, and I say to you, one of the wonderful things about walking after the Spirit, living in the Spirit, is waiting. And everybody goes, huh? Man, when'd you get excited about waiting? I never have liked to wait. Don't like to wait now. Well, wait a minute, all right? We're not just talking about waiting for the sake of waiting, okay? You know, for years and years, I remember hearing it said to me, there's some things worth waiting on. Right? There's some things worth waiting on. Well, hey, for the child of God, there's some promises of God that tell us about some things that are coming. They're worth waiting on. They are worth waiting on. First of all, a matter of revealing. Look at verse 18. I believe this is worth waiting for. "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You say, what are you waiting on, preacher? I'm waiting on the glory that's going to be revealed in me. The glory that's going to be revealed in you as a child of God. Hey, we're waiting on that to happen. That glory, the Bible says, far outweighs the suffering and any kind of fleshly problem that we might have to deal with here. Man, the glory to come says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it because it's so much better. It is so much better. Any suffering you might have to endure because of living and walking in the Spirit, it says nothing compared to that coming glory that's coming. Hey, God's going to do something in you. God's going to do something with you. That glory is going to be revealed in you. In you. You say, I don't say I could do that. Well, it's going to be hard for some of us, all right? It's going to be the only God could do it. But I want to tell you what, folks, that day is coming. That day's coming. So what are we doing? Well, in the Spirit, as you walk in the Spirit and you begin to live in the Spirit, you begin to think about that, you're thinking, I'm waiting on that. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it's worth waiting for. It is worth waiting for. But not only waiting for that glory that's going to be revealed in us, but look what the Bible says in verse 23. We read that verse just a minute ago. It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting on the redemption of our body. This body that we live in, all right? Hey, listen, when you got saved, the soul and spirit of man were regenerated. Man, God did a work in you, and that really, that spirit that was dead, that soul that was dead, He made it alive. He made it alive. It's one of the Bible said, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. But the problem is, we've got that soul and that spirit that's alive living in a dead body. Living in a dead body. Notice that's what the Bible says, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, all right? But it says, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, all right? Back up there a little bit, all right? If Christ be in you, in verse 10, the body is dead because of sin. That's the body. Well, wait a minute, that's the housing. That's the housing for you as a child of God. I've said it numerous times. Really, I'm 6'7", but I live in a short body, all right? Now, listen, inside this body you look at, you see the body and you think, well, that's him. No, the real him's on the inside looking out at you. And the real you's on the inside of that body you live in looking out at the rest of us. And that body groans. Man, that's what the Bible says there, verse 23. We groan within ourselves. Why? Because we're waiting for God to do something for our body that He's already done for our soul and our spirit. He's going to redeem this body. This body's going to change. That's what the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says that we'll all be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. That's what's got to take place. The Bible said we'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That body, even though we've maybe followed the body of loved ones out to the cemetery, and they've lowered that body into the ground, and that body's resting there tonight, but the day's going to come and the trump of God's going to sound. That body's going to be raised out of that ground, and the Bible says it's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. Hey, we're waiting for the redemption of the body. We're waiting. Can I tell you something that's worth waiting on? That is something that's worth waiting on. That is something that just stirs us up. So, hey, the wonderfulness of walking in the Spirit, what is it? Waiting, waiting. But it's not only waiting, it's hoping. It is hoping. Look at verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hoping. That's what walking in the Spirit is. It's hoping. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about the world's philosophy of hope. There's a lot of people. Don't they draw the Texas lottery? Don't they draw that on Wednesday night? Those of you that play it. Hope none of you do that. Waste your money. But I think it's on Wednesday night and Saturday night. Maybe they draw. And I saw the other day on television a little blurb running across the bottom of the TV. It's one of the biggest ones ever been. And I'm thinking, well, big deal. But I mean, other people are excited and they're buying those tickets. You know what they're doing? They're hoping. They're hoping they're going to win. They're hoping. But you know what? Thousands of other people have spent weeks and weeks and weeks and who knows how much money kicking it in, hoping they'd win. Nobody's won yet. I suppose one day, eventually, somebody's going to win, and that one person is going to get excited. Hey, that's not the kind of hope we're talking about in the Scripture. When the Bible talks about the child of God and our hope, songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's our hope. When we talk about biblical hope designates, if you will, a very confident assurance that things are going to be just as God said they'd be. That's our hope. And what we're doing is we're hoping that it's going to take place. We're hoping. As a child of God, we're walking in the Spirit. Now, as you begin to walk in the Spirit, you begin to enjoy the blessing of God. That begins to make you think, boy, how much gooder can it be? All right? How much better can it be if we walk in the Spirit? We get to hoping for what's coming, all right? We get to hoping for coming. It's a hope. Hope for what? For His return. We're hoping for His return. That's what we're looking forward to. One of these days, Trump's going to sound. He's going to split the eastern sky. And the Bible says we'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And in spite of what a bunch of goofballs think, then the tribulation's going to start. We're not leaving here in the middle of it. We're leaving here before it starts. We're leaving here. Hey, we're looking for His return in power and glory. We're looking for that snatching away. And even then past that, we're looking for Him coming back to this earth. Because we're coming back with Him. Coming back with Him, all right? It is a hope for what we see not. We're hoping for that, all right? It stirs within us. I want to tell you something. Walking after the Spirit keeps that hope alive. And it keeps that hope strong. It keeps us going. You see a downhearted, downtrodden child of God, they're not walking after the Spirit. They've let the flesh overcome them. They're not talking about it. They're thinking, woe is me. Life is hard. I'm struggling. And nobody knows the trouble I've seen. But wait a minute. But the child of God knows what it is to walk in the Spirit. That child of God, you know what he's doing? He's waiting. He's hoping. Did you notice what it says in verse 25 there, though? Right at the end it says, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. Hey, the stirring of the hope causes us to get even better at waiting. Causes us to look forward even more. Just that hope. Would you let me put it this way? For a child at Christmas, man, every kid at Christmas looks forward to Christmas coming. And the closer it gets, the more excited they get. But when they come in the house and they see a Christmas tree maybe with those packages under it and they begin to count, hey, that's how many I've got under there. It stirs that hope even more, doesn't it? Stirs that hope even more. Can I say this to you? That's exactly what walking after the Spirit will do for you as a child of God. It'll get that hope revved up for His return. That hope revved up for the redemption of this body. Boy, man, we're looking forward to it. Waiting. The waiting's not so tough when you've got that confident assurance that you know He's coming. You know He's coming. Boy, it's a wonderful thing to walk after the Spirit. But it's not just waiting and hoping. Hey, there's something else involved. Look down at verse 26. It's praying. It's praying. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hey, walking after the Spirit keeps us praying. Keeps us praying, all right? Under the leadership and under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, the child of God knows the value of prayer. You don't have to sit down and explain it to them. They know it, all right? They know that. Not prayer just done in moments of terror. Not prayer just done in the midst of tragedy. No, we're talking about a regular exercise. A regular exercise. Hey, this is something we do on a regular basis. This is something we do. It's kind of like eating. We eat on a regular basis. Well, we pray on a regular basis. We know that. We know because there's just nothing like it to pray to our God, to resting, if you will, in God and communing with Him. Communing with Him. That's what it is. That's what it is. You remember what it was like when maybe you were dating and you could call that one on the phone that so made your heart beat faster? Remember those days? Some of you are scratching your head. You're not sure you do remember. Some of you, it was probably in time you had to turn the deal for the phone. No, I was kidding. I tell you what, some of you, though, could be as old enough, and it's been long enough ago, you had to wait to whoever else was on the party line would get off, right? But man, how good it is to pick up that phone and hear that voice and be able to talk to them. Listen to me. What a joy it is to be able to get on your face before God. I say get on your knees. You don't have to get on your knees. But to just get alone and begin to pray and commune with God. Talk with Him. As songwriter says, friend with friend. Boy, what a privilege. What a privilege we have to be able to pray. Able to bring all of our requests to Him. Whatever you need, whatever there is, we have prayer requests. We always talk about them a little bit more on Wednesday night, maybe, than we do other times. We pass out a prayer list time to time on Wednesday night, and we talk about that. What a joy it is to know I can bring my request to Him, and I know He hears me. I know He hears me. But boy, if you're walking in the Spirit and walking after the Spirit the way you should, it's even better to pray. The one good thing about it, notice what the Bible said in these verses, you even get help when you don't know how to pray. You ever been there? Ever been there where you didn't really know how to pray? And really your prayer was, Lord, I don't really know what to ask. But I've got a burden. There's something here that stirs me. And I don't really know how to pray about it. I have talked to people that were in having just huge physical problems and maybe weren't doing too good. And I've asked them, how do you want me to pray? And I've had them tell me, preacher, you just pray the Lord will take me, would you? Just pray that the Lord will let me go on home. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. But the great thing about the Spirit's intervention is that it'll always be, look at the end of verse 27. You see the end of verse 27? See those words there? It'll always be according to the will of God. If you're praying and He's leading. If it's what He puts on, it'll always be according to the will of God. You say, well, man, what's the deal? You know, sometimes I want my will. I know. I read a story this week about this governess was taking care of this little child. And the mother was there, but in another room and busy. And she had instructed the governess, just let him have whatever he wants. And so sure enough, she heard that little kid just crying. You know, I won't. And the governor said, no. And boy, the little boy just started crying. And mama got up, went in there and said, what's going on? Well, he wants this. She said, I told you, let him have whatever he wants. Now let him have it. She left the room and wasn't too long, man. The little boy's wanting and asking. The governor says, no, you can't have it. Just crying like all get up. Governess comes back in and says, what's wrong? Well, he wants this. I told you to let him have. Yeah, but he wants. I don't care what he wants. Told you to let him have whatever he wants, and you let him have it. I'm trying to do something in here and don't want to be bothered. The governess said, okay. She went in there and sat down, and Boy, wasn't hardly no time. There was absolute blood-curdling scream. She came running there. I told you not to. She said, well, I did what you said. I let him have what he wanted. Trouble is, what he wanted was a bumblebee. He found out he didn't want it, all right? Hey, you know what? That's the way it is with us sometimes. Amen. We think we know what we want. And we'll pray. But boy, if we'd let the Holy Spirit lead us in prayer, all right? If we'd let Him lead in prayer and let Him guide us along the way, we'd not be praying for that stuff we don't need. We wouldn't be doing it. Hey, what a blessed, what a wonderful thing about walking in the Spirit. Why? Man, we get to wait on the redemption of the body, the revealing of the glory that's going to be in us. We have that wonderful hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to that. We have the privilege of prayer. We can go into His presence at any time with prayer. We can pray. But would you let me just get to the last thing? Maybe this is the best. Look at verse 28. This is probably the most well-known verse in Romans chapter 8. Maybe the most well-known verse in the book of Romans. The Bible said, and we know. Oh, I like that. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Hey, it's not only waiting and hoping and praying, but it's knowing. What a blessing it is. How wonderful it is to know, all right? In the midst of that waiting and hoping and praying, we know. We know. We know that all things work together for good. Just think about that, would you? Just think about that. All things work together for good. Now, don't leave the rest of the verse out. To them that love God. It doesn't work out for good to those that are lost, don't care a flip about God. But for those that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, the Bible says we know that it all works out for good. You say, how do we know that? Because we know who's in control. We know God's in control of everything that's going on. What's happened in this year has surprised us, but it didn't surprise God. Didn't surprise Him. And by the way, He's still in control. He's still in control. Last night on the debate, the Democrat was blaming the Republican. The Republican was blaming the Democrat for the whole mess we're in for this year. I want to tell you what, you can point the finger and blame anybody you want to, but you remember this, God's in control of what's happening. He said, we know that. We know. Now, I'll be honest. If the Democrats were in control, I'd be worried. Hey, if the Republicans were in control, I'd be worried. I don't trust any of them. Don't trust them very far. Not at all. When they begin to promise what they're going to do, I grab my billfold every time. Because I know the only way they're going to pay for it's out of our pocket, right? But I know they're not in control. God is. God is. What a blessing it is to know that. What a blessing it is to know that. As we walk with Him and see it, begin to know. And you know what? We know it's great because we know that that God who's in control is good. And He's good all the time. He's good all the time. You can count on what's going to happen to you. We may not understand it right at that moment. But I'll tell you what. He's a good God. And I don't mind leaving it in His hands because He is a good God. I know He's going to take care of us. He works on behalf of His children. You stop and think about that. He's working on your behalf. He's working on my behalf. It's for the ones that love God. It's for them. He said it'll work out good for them. What you're going through and the problems you have, the experiences you have, hang in there. He'll work it out for good. Well, I just don't see how He can. I know that. That's why it takes faith. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. Because I don't see how it's going to work out either. I don't see how to settle. I don't do it. But it's for those that are His, those that are called according to His purpose. I'll tell you, I believe this with all my heart. It's for those that are walking after the Spirit. You say, what do you know? I know this. We can wait. We can wait because He's got something that's worth waiting for. He's got something that's worth waiting for. We can hope with just a great assurance. hoping. I'm not hoping that maybe perhaps and through America. No, I'm hoping because I've got the promise of God. Amen. Hoping because I've got the promise of God. I'm taking His promise. So I know it's coming to pass. I'm just hoping it'll be tomorrow. Or maybe tonight. I'm just hoping He'll do what He's promised. I'm hoping that'll happen. But I'm praying. I'm praying while I wait. Praying, asking God to do some things. Praying God to work a miracle in some lives. I'm praying God will do it. And I know His promise. But the whole time, knowing it's all going to work out for good. It's all going to work out for good. Hey, I'm here to tell you something, that walking after the Spirit provides a wonderful life. Wonderful life. There's a wonderfulness to it. The problem is so many Christians in our day would rather settle for walking after the flesh. Walking after the flesh. We get tied up in all the things of the flesh. We get so bound up with that, you know. Well, I want this. I got to have this to satisfy my flesh. Got to have this new trinket or that new trinket. I've got to have the latest phone that's out there. You know, the ones where I can not have any communication with anybody else. I can be absorbed in that phone. I've got to have that. Man, it's money. I've just got to have that money and got to have the new clothes and I got to have a new car, got to have a new home. Everything's got to be perfect. Everything the world wants, you don't need it. You don't need it. If you'd learn to walk after the Spirit, you'd learn to do that. You might be surprised how satisfied you would be in the midst of a world of people that are dissatisfied. My friend that lives in Arizona, ever since I met him, one of the first phrases I ever heard him come out with, he said, "You'd gripe if they hung you with a new rope." Boy, we're good at griping. Amen. We're good at being dissatisfied. Most of that simply because our eyes are on the things of the world. Right. And it's the things that appeal to this flesh. And we find ourselves walking after that, trying to get all of that we can put our hand on and every bit we can have. Well, wait a minute. We need to walk after the Spirit of God. Walking after the Spirit. Why? Because we can wait on Him. Waiting on something that's worth waiting on, all right? Waiting on the redemption of this body. Waiting on the revealing of the glory that's going to be revealed in us. I think Peter and John, they got a little taste of it yonder on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yeah, they got a little glimpse. Oh, mercy. It's coming. It's worth waiting for. And we can wait hoping because we know it's coming. Assured that God's going to do exactly what He said He'd do, everything He said He'll do it, every bit of it. Man, we can pray and get into His presence through prayer. Just a wonderful thing. And all whole time knowing God's working it all out. He'll work it all out for good. For you, for me, for all of us. All we got to do, what do you need to do, preacher? Learn to walk after the Spirit. Learn to mortify the deeds of this old body. Learn to put that to death. Walk after the Spirit. Not get bound up and concentrated on what the flesh wants and trying to appease the flesh. Do what the flesh says. No, do what the Word of God says. Live for Him. Well, I'll challenge you. You want a life that's fulfilled. Wonderfulness of walking after the Spirit. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. Get in on it. You can. Heavenly Father, help us now. Help us see how wonderful it is to walk after the Spirit. Lord, so many times we get burdened down here in this old world because our eyes get off of You and they get on all the stuff and all the things that we think we can't live without. And we get dissatisfied. Well, Lord, we find real satisfaction in You. Lord, help us to go there. Help us to walk after the Spirit. Lord, deliver testimony in front of this old world that there's no answer for but the wonderfulness of Jesus Christ, His glory, His blessing in our life. Lord, now help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.